This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. We are so excited. Welcome back to Shrink Chicks. We have on one of our favorite people, a mentor of ours, whether he knows it or not, Terry Real. And we are so excited because you have a new book coming out tomorrow that we got to preview. We feel like the luckiest people in the world because it's unfucking believable.
Oh, thank you so much.
So we want to hear all about us.
Okay. So here it is. This is what
I beautiful cover, by the way.
Beautiful cover. Yes.
I like the way the S is leaning against the U. I think that's kind of cool.
Yes.
And if you notice, you probably can't read it, but right up here in little orange letters, it says "Forward by Bruce Springsteen," which is pretty damn cool if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. Are you a Springsteen fan?
I'm a great Springsteen fan. And he wrote a beautiful foreword. It really brought tears to my eyes. He acknowledged the work that he and Patty did with me. And he's just such, both of them are, they are as wonderful as you think they are. They really are wonderful people.
That is amazing. That's a bit of a career high, I would say.
Absolutely.
You know what? I love you guys. I like to hang out. Yeah, I'll tell you the story. It's a great story. I was giving a talk in celebration of the great feminist psychologist Carol Gilligan at NYU, one of my influences. And a mutual friend said, "I'm going to make your day." I said, "Okay." He said, "A couple from New Jersey has been reading 'I Don't Want to Talk About It,' your first book, aloud to each other at night and crying as they read it. And they just want to come in to shake your hand and tell you what fans they are." And I say, "Oh, well, that really makes my day." And he said, "No, this is what's going to make you cry."
Did your jaw drop? Let's be honest here.
Drop. And after the talk, Patty and Bruce and I went out to lunch together, and it turned out to be like a 4-hour lunch, and we just adored each other. And then I did some work with them, and it's been really a blessing.
Oh, my! Did you ever think that in your career that you would be able to go out with Bruce Springsteen and his wife?
As a blue-collar kid from New Jersey, to read the foreword and have Bruce Springsteen say to you, "You know, your writing is really beautiful. You're a great writer."
Yeah, that'll knock you on your ass. And for most of us that are therapists, we get into this work because we love all people, right? Like all couples. It ends up pretty cool when you get to work with Bruce Springsteen. But your work supersedes all of that of just us, right? So like what it gets down to is, I think it's important to say, it's us getting past you and me to build a more loving relationship, that there is a difference between us and you and me.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I start with neurobiology. The autonomic nervous system scans our bodies 4 times a second. Am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? Am I safe? And if the answer is yes, I feel safe, then we stay in our prefrontal cortex, what I call the wise adult part of us. The part of us that's here and now, present-based, can stop and think and be deliberate. If the answer is no, I'm in danger, then that part of us, thank you, Dan Siegel, literally goes offline. It shuts down. And more primitive parts of the brain, limbic system, amygdala, light up and take over. Stimulants are being pumped into our bloodstream. We all know the feeling of being triggered, being flooded. And automatic responses take over. I speak about the wise adult part of us, which is the prefrontal cortex, the wounded child part of us, which is very young, the part of you that was just on the receiving end of the violation or neglect, tends to just want to crawl up in someone's lap and cry. And between these two, what I call, borrowing from my mentor, P. Melody, the adaptive child part of us. The adaptive child part of us is the you that you created to adapt to whatever the lack or the violations were that were coming your way. It's a kid's version of a grown-up, and it's immature. It's black and white. It's perfectionistic. It's rigid. It's often harsh. It's certain. Whereas the mature part of us is nuanced, is forgiving, understands gray, understands imperfections. If you read Erik Erikson, the wise adult part of us looks like a mature adult in adult development. The adaptive child part of us apes a mature adult, but isn't. And the hallmark of that adaptive child part of us is that it's automatic. Whoosh, I call it, W-H-O-O-S-H. And for those listening, broadest categories I have are fight, flight, freeze, and I've added a fourth one, which is in the literature now. I call it fix. Literature calls it fawn, as that automatic. And fix is the compulsive need for us therapists and caretakers. Like, if you're not okay, I need to make you okay so I can feel okay. Fight, flight, freeze, or fix. Those are your knee-jerk responses. And shall we out ourselves? I'm a fighter.
Yep. Okay, fix.
Freezer.
There you go. And just saying that will tell you about the dynamic of the relationship.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Something you mentioned in your book, and also, you know, when I went to the Psychotherapy Networker in the seminar, they were talking about this, that you know, the adaptive child is not a bad part, because I think that was, you know, something that really brought that to light, because I think so often, you know, when we're hearing about that part of us, there can be shame connected to it or embarrassment, but to know that neither part is good or bad, it just is.
You don't meet harshness with harshness. And I said this last time, I'm going to say it every time I'm on air. Harshness is one of the qualities of the adaptive child part of us. Our wise adult is not harsh. And our listeners get nothing other than this one point. This could change your lives. For you, for your clients, there is nothing that harshness does that loving firmness doesn't do better. If it's harsh, it's off. You're in an immature part of your brain. Get re-centered. There's no redeeming value in harshness. So you don't meet your adaptive child with harshness. You meet your adaptive child with loving firmness.
Well, I think it's interesting because a lot of this is really big as someone who's a mom, right? Like, we talk about this a lot with our children, but it seems to be so much more difficult for people to do it with their partners compared to their children, right?
Yeah. Well, we don't ask anything. We don't ask our children to fulfill our relational needs, but it's a one-way street. So we love them unconditionally. Adults don't love adults unconditionally. That's bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
Any person can behave badly enough to push somebody away. So we get hurt by our partners in ways we don't get hurt by our kids. And then when we get hurt, our nervous system says danger, danger, danger. And we move into these you know, my pal Gabor Mate says, you don't see the wound, you see the scar. And in relationships, you don't see the wounded child part of us, you see the adaptation to the wound.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
I don't know if I told you this story last time I was here, but I'm illustrating this with one story that I tell over and over again. And it's the first story, one of the first stories in the book. May I tell it to you?
Please.
Yes.
All right. Because this is what the whole book is about, is equipping people to do what I'm about to describe. So a guy comes to me on the brink of divorce. The couple comes, and he's a chronic liar. I think I said this, but anyway, he's a chronic liar. Lies about everything. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy, you say to him, the sky is blue, he says it's aquamarine, okay? He ain't going to give you nothing. So that's his relational stance. We talk about the adaptive child manifesting itself in a repeated relational stance. That's your half of the vicious circle that you're in. It's the same thing you do over and over and over again. It will never get you more of what you want. It's dysfunctional. So for example, angry pursuit is not a functional stance. Mm. You will never get somebody closer to you by complaining about their not being close to you.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
But I don't think most people do that.
Right.
No, you don't. Because that adaptive child takes over. And the adaptive child part of us doesn't give a shit about intimacy. It's about you and me consciousness. You lose the us. When you lose the prefrontal cortex, you literally lose the capacity to remember the whole, remember relationship, and it becomes two individuals who are duking it to the death. And when one of you wins and the other one loses, you're done. Get out of that part of your brain. Okay, anyway, so his relational stance was evasion, and he lied, and he was about to get a divorce. Who would tolerate that? So I asked him a question, which if you're not used to thinking relationally, is like, brilliant, how did he come up? It's easy breezy. When once I understand the adaptive child, the next question is what, which often means who, were you adapting to? So I say to this guy, who tried to control you growing up? Easy as can be. Show me the thumbprint and I'll tell you about the thumb. If he's an evader, who is he evading? So sure enough, his father, a military man, controlling how he ate, how he sat, how he dressed, his friends, his everything. I say, how did you cope with, i.e. adapt to, that controlling father? He looks at me and smiles. I love the smile. And he says, I lied. Brilliant. Just what you needed to do to preserve yourself. Smart little boy. And quite the contrary of being harsh, I teach relational life therapists to always be respectful of the exquisite intelligence of the adaptive child. You did exactly what you needed to do back then to stay whole and preserve yourself. Good for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what would have happened to you if you hadn't lied to your father. You would have been in a back ward somewhere. Okay, but I have a saying, adaptive then, maladaptive now. You're not that little boy. She's not your controlling father. Take a breath and let's do something. So, absolutely true story. They come back a few weeks later, we're cured.
And
they
cured.
They were. I said, okay, tell me the tale. She sent him off to the grocery store to get, say, 12 things. And in characteristic form, he comes back with 11. She says to him, where's the pumpernickel? He says, every muscle and nerve in my body was screaming to say they were out of it. And in this moment, I found my courage. I took a breath. I looked my wife in the eye and I said, I forgot. And she, true story, she burst into tears.
Oh, wow.
And she said, I've been waiting for this moment for 25 years. That's recovery. Mm. That's health. And that's what this whole book is about. Equipping. The great news is that you can cultivate those moments. You can grow them. You can build that muscle, shifting out of the triggered reactive part of you into the wise adult part of you is something you can learn to do. And it's the way out of this mess between you and your partner or kids or whoever you're being reactive to. It's the way out of reactivity into wisdom.
I love that we're sitting here talking about the bravery of honesty, which I think is something that we have learned a lot from your work within our own clients of like being honest with clients. Don't we owe that to them, right? Like joining through truth. You say something else, which I would love you to talk a little bit more about, is that there's no place for objective reality in personal relationships.
Pisser, isn't it?
Really makes it tough.
Yeah, objective reality is great for getting, you know, busted or creating a vaccine, but it's irrelevant. When you start thinking relationally, and I want to talk about what that means. When you think from the us, when you remember that you and your partner are a team, a relational answer to the question, who's right and who's wrong is who cares. It doesn't matter. What matters is, how are you and I going to work together to make this work for both of us? That's what matters. You know, I have a saying, you can be right or you can be married. What's more important to you? Mm-hmm. When you're in you and me consciousness, the adaptive child, the subcortical part of the brain, the reactive part of your nervous system, or said differently, and I want to get back to this, when you're thinking like an individual, being in a contest with another individual and you've lost the team, which our culture is full of. I want to talk about the cultural part of it. But when it's me versus you, and you're in that part of the brain, all bets are off. You're never going to get what you want because that part of you doesn't care about being intimate. It cares about self-survival. Mm. You know, I have been around the country for decades doing workshops on skills. And my favorite slide of the workshop is this one. Other workshops teach you skills. We deal with the part of you that won't use them.
So true.
So the first skill is letting go of that adaptive child. Now, the agenda when you're in your wise adult is, I love you, you love me, let's make this work. What do we need? There are five losing strategies that I go into in the book that the adaptive child is run by. And take a moment, because I'm going to ask you, for your losing strategy profile. And I want listeners to take a moment, maybe get out a piece of paper, and jot down your losing strategy, your combination, and if you want to play, your partner's combination. Here they are. Being right. We're going to solve this problem by determining which of us is accurate. That's objective reality. And what people get into is what I call objectivity struggles. Last night when you yelled at the waiter, no, I was emphatic. No, you yelled. No, I was emphatic. Honey, you were yelling. No, I wasn't. Well, there was an audiologist at the table next door, and he measured your decibel level. It's a loser. Who cares? Nobody cares who's right and who's wrong. Let's talk about what we need to make this work. Two, controlling your partner. I will be happy if you would.
You make that face for a reason, Em.
You're not talking about me at all at this moment.
Three, unbridled self-expression, ventilating, which therapy has been a major contributor. I call it the barf bag approach to intimacy.
Yeah.
You know, you did this today. You did that last week, 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago. You always, you never, you are. Forget it. When I say to somebody in my offices, hey, look, you can express yourself or you can work on your relationship, but you can't do both at the same time. Which would you?
Oh, that is good. I'm going to take that one, Terry, if that's okay.
You want to express yourself? Go ahead, but you're not going to make anything better. Express yourself. And there are people who just go on and on.
Yep.
And on.
Yes.
And therapy says, go, girl, go. Let's go.
Right. Right.
Okay. So unbridled self-expression, retaliation. I'm going to hurt you the way you hurt me. And my wife, Belinda, the wonderful therapist, it gave me the best frame for retaliation. I love it. She said, retaliation is a perverse form of communication. Retaliation is, I won't hurt you the way you hurt me, so you understand what you did to me. It's a wish for healing, really. So you fall on your knees and say you're sorry, but it's a loser. Mm. We'll never create empathy in somebody by hurting them. But I wish our penal system understood that. You never rehabilitate somebody by hurting.
No, absolutely.
So retaliation is a loser, and then the last is withdrawal. Which a lot of people do. And you can withdraw and still sit there. That's called stonewalling. You will never get more of what you want if you just withdraw. I mean, it's not. So proving you're right, controlling your partner, ventilating, retaliating, or withdrawing, check yourself. If in the heat of the moment, one or some combination of these is what you're about, you are not in your right mind. Shut up. Take a walk around the block. Do some breathing. Do some meditating. Splashing water on your face. Do some dialoguing with that little girl or boy who's been triggered. But get yourself back into your prefrontal cortex before you deal with your partner. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, a lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Let me hear it from you. What's your legal strategy profile?
I am definitely a withdrawer.
My partner's a withdrawer. I go into control. And I do think I used to do, we were just talking about this recording a different episode yesterday, that for a very long time, I just emotionally dumped and said everything because I thought that it made me feel better. Like that I would be like, okay, if I can process this out, if I can talk this through. It never worked, right? It might momentarily work, but it doesn't do shit. And it became incredibly harmful.
Right.
Because you're also often not talking to your partner about it. You're talking, you're calling your girlfriends, you're calling your mom, talking to the fucking crazy lady next door, right? Like there's all these different things. And so I think the hardest thing, I love what you talk about, which is like really taking a personal accountability, right? Walk yourself around the block, put yourself in a chill out. What are you going to do to take hold here?
And I wonder too, you know, and this is something you can touch on, is that our losing profile, does that trigger a certain losing profile in our partner, right? I mean, we're, right. My guess would be yes. Because my partner's, I would say, is unbridled self-expression.
Yeah.
And because of that, mine is withdrawal.
Well, both of you. And yours is withdrawal and your partner's is withdrawal.
Yep.
And like, what would someone do on the receiving end of unbridled self-expression or withdrawal? But go behind a wall.
Yep.
You know, so much of the book is about getting to form a relationship with the adaptive child part of you. And learning what you do will tell you a lot about what your partner's going to do. Mm-hmm. You're in the mix with them. I'll tell you a funny story. Everybody who comes to see me, it starts off by being what I call an essentialist, an individualist. Well, this is just who he is as an individual. I mean, he just withdraws. Well, the fact that you're trying to control the hell out of him may have something to do with it, right? So couples therapists bring the wisdom of the seesaw. You're on your side of the seesaw. The person on the other side of the seesaw is connected to you, but they don't get that. I tell a story in the book of Bill. He's a kind of blue-collar Boston Southie, you know, Boston Irish. And he comes in, he's kind of chomping on a cigar, even though there wasn't one, but that's how I sit along. And I asked him the same question I ask everybody at the beginning of the session. If this were to work, what would you get? What would a grand slam be? And he says, well, Doc, a grand slam would be between you and me if we could conspire to get me laid. That would be great. So I go, there's an agenda. And in my brilliance, I say, so your sex life isn't quite what you want. Yeah, good, Terry. Okay, so I say, why? What's wrong? We haven't had sex in years. Okay, why? My wife is just cold. Mm. She's a cold person. I'm an Italian, big Italian family. We yell, we scream, we have sex on the dining room table. You know, it's a big free for all. She is a New England Yankee high wasp, one of the frozen chosen. She is like, wouldn't, you know, her mother's cold, her whole family, she's just a cold person.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I dismiss Bill and I bring in his wife, Clarice. Well, by the way, as a mouth owner, not all that dissimilar to Bill. If you go, you don't have to tell me, he's bitching about our sex life, right? Yeah. I know, I'm a frigid bitch, right? I'm just a cold person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I go, you don't quite see it like that. Well, we haven't had sex in years. He's right about that. Okay, why not? Well, he's a terrible lover. He has premature ejaculation. He has for 20 years. He doesn't give a damn about my knees. He won't do anything with me. He wouldn't know a vibrator if it fell from the sky. When I try and talk to him about it, he just gets mad and stomps. Who needs that shit? So, like, forget it. I bring Bill back into the room. And here's what I say to him. Bill, I've got great news for you. The news is that you have something to do about this. You have something to say about this. This isn't just that she is as an individual, blah, blah, blah. Mm. You know, in our relationships, I like to say we're like a 500-pound guy sitting on one end of a seesaw, complaining to everybody who passes by that he can't get that skinny broad down. And he's tried. He's talked to her, he's yelled at her, he's promised her, he's cajoled her. This is what I call a unilateral control model. I'm going to get you to come down. And all good therapists have up their sleeve, hey, pal, if you want her down, try getting up. Change your position in the seesaw, not to control your partner, but to change the interaction between the two of you. This is called learning to think relationally, and in our culture we don't think that way.
Mm-mm. The way in which, you know, to make that switch also empowers the person so much more, right? Like, how hopeless do you feel when you're just waiting or like trying to get the other person to change? It gives you so much more control when you say, I can actually do something to change the relationship, that it's not about just getting my partner to change. It's about, what do I change that affects the relationship? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me give you an example. A guy comes in with a raging wife and I have a generic comment. What I say is, I have a saying, Steve, an angry woman is generally a woman who doesn't feel heard. And that's true in our culture. So many women, it's like, can you hear me now? Well, what about now? What about now?
Yeah.
I have news for you, Jill. You've been heard today. Mm. Heard by me. I get it. Everything you say about him is right. And I'll work with him. Now, as a therapist, I say, it's a big move. We teach an RLT student. As a therapist, I say, now, your job is, you let me get through to him. You're not going to. Give it to me. It's an incredible relief for the dissatisfied partner, almost always the woman, when you take responsibility and do that. I want you to resign. I want you to relax. I've got it. Your job is try and remember how to enjoy the son of God, because it's been a long time. And when I do that, particularly with women, quite often they cry with relief. Because they've dragged that sucker to four therapists and no one has taken them on. Mm-hmm. And in RLT, we take people on. We take on the grandiose partner. We throw our weight behind the disempowered one and we take on the anti-relational one. It's one of the, I think, if I can say, one of the great contributions of RLT. We take sides, not neutral.
Mm-hmm. And it is, it's a gift to do that for your clients because you're being honest, right? Like, we're not sitting here just doing empathetic listening, which unfortunately is what a lot of couples therapists are doing. And one of the things I love about that you talk about in the New Rules of Marriage is that individual therapy is for personal empowerment and couples therapy is for couple empowerment, relational empowerment. And I think a lot of people do not know that, right? So for the people listening who have been like, oh, I went to this couples therapist and it was so horrible, but did you go to the right couples therapist? Right? Like, it does, the technique does matter. It is not all the same.
And I think that's something as couples therapists, we had to unlearn
from grad school
in a lot of ways. And something that you really taught us is that taking sides is important in order to make movement in couples therapy. Mm-hmm. Like that is for me personally has been so helpful to my work.
Very liberating for us therapists.
Liberating.
It was because it's real, right? It actually felt uncomfortable to be neutral when you're like, I kind of fucking hate this guy.
Right. Like you have to be, it allows you to be so much more honest, and that joining through truth, right? That honesty really shifts your work as a therapist. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the phrase is joining through the truth. Let me say before people go off and start beating up their client, any fool can beat their clients up with the truth. The art is joining through the truth. The art is speaking the difficult truth to your client, confronting their anti-relational behavior in a way that is so loving, so rooting for them, so on their side, that the client actually feels closer to you, not for, they trust you more, mm-hmm. not less, which is the opposite of what we were all taught in school.
Yes.
And the other thing, let me put in a plug. The other thing I want to say is that we have a beautiful, totally revamped training program in relational life therapy. We just opened up the doors in April. It's a rich, about 2-year training that really will turn you into an RLT therapist. Mm-hmm. Doors are open. If you're interested, come to my website, either terryreal.com or relationallife.com, and learn about our training. I'm very, very excited. We're really ramping up to train thousands of therapists across the country and across the world.
And I think something we want to make sure to say, because we have 30 clinicians in our practice, invest in your education. Pay the money. I know that it's nice to just read books, but it is not the same as joining a course and doing a certificate and doing a 2-year intensive thing, right? Like, I think that there's so many clinicians that feel like, oh, I can't spend money on that. I already paid for grad school. No, you have to keep reinvesting in your skills all the time. And this, the relational life, this is the way to do it.
We recommend it to all of our clinicians.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
We really do, because we really believe in your work. And it once again has been so helpful to our work as clinicians. Mm-hmm. And so we recommend it to anyone who works for us and also anyone we meet in general. So I'm so glad that you put that plug in, because it's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you, for the people that are listening, right, I'm saying about 50-50, right? So the people that are not therapists listening, but they're listening to the podcast because they genuinely want to improve their relationships. And they want to do that by taking on personal radical responsibility to do that. What's the takeaway from that? Because a lot of people listening are people that, the number one question we get from people is, but I can't get my partner to go to couples therapy.
First of all, let me take that on. Don't throw in the towel on that just yet. A lot of people in general, and I'm going to say women in particular, I write about this in the book, get into what I call, I hate how you're treating me, what can I make you for dinner? You know, dare to rock the boat. Throw your weight around a little bit. If you're not happy, dare to act like you're not happy. Now, that may put the relationship at risk, buyer beware, but I personally believe that a healthy relationship is one in which you are willing to put the relationship at risk from time to time. So I'll tell you a story, absolutely true story. I think I talked about it in the book. I had a gal come in, and it was one of these deals. I can't get my guy into therapy. And we did a 90-second intervention once a day for about 10 days. And she met her, this is absolutely true. She met her guy at the door, opened the door, and she said this. Hi, I'm glad you're home. I want you to know I hate how you're treating me. I hate 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, March, blah, 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 at 7 o'clock, we have an appointment for a couples therapy with this guy, Terry Real, and I expect you to get your butt into that chair. If you don't go to that therapy, I'm going to be even more hurt and angry and miserable than I am already. And brother, you have no idea how hurt and angry and miserable I am. Now, what would you like for dinner? This is an absolutely true story.
Wow.
90 seconds, once a day, 9 days on the 10th day, that sorry character was in my offer.
Of course.
You dance right.
Of course.
You know, rock the boat and take a risk. And don't throw in the towel so quickly. I've had women who go on strike. I'm not going to have sex with you. I'm not going to eat with you. I'm not going to cook for you. I'm not going to pick up your laundry. Here's a big one for my idea with high-powered guys. I'm not going to go out with you socially. Mm-hmm. You don't treat me like a couple. I don't want to be with you. All the way up to get out of my bedroom. We're having an in-house divorce. But if you're unhappy, start off by being congruent. Dare to be unhappy. One of the things I say to people with partners like this is they're not uncomfortable being the way they are. You are.
Right.
Mm. If you're not willing to make them uncomfortable, they won't come across. But if you're willing, see what you can do. And then if all else fails, you come without them and we'll start coaching you. But
why do you think that is so hard for people? It's so hard to make someone uncomfortable. Why is it so hard to be honest?
Ultimately, it's about the culture of patriarchy. Patriarchy protects the grandiose perpetrator. We know that. That's why the Me Too movement was so extraordinary, mm-hmm. because it was the first time that women collectively were willing to call men out in public. What every woman knows, and every child, everyone, every minority, what everyone in the one down position knows is that you must regulate the person in the one up position, or there may be hell to pay. It's your job to keep them regulated. Mm-hmm. And so we blame ourselves. We twist ourselves in the knots. We do everything but hold them accountable. What we're afraid of, what women are afraid of under patriarchy with men, is three things. And it's the same thing the therapists are afraid of. When we confront a grandiose person, either woman or man or non-binary person, they're either going to blow up and attack us. They're going to scream and run out of the room and abandon us, or they're going to fall apart. Oh my God, you're so right. They're going to move from inflation to deflation, and we will have hurt them. Mm-hmm. And these are the forces of intimidation that stop us from daring to tell the truth to one-up grandiose people. In RLT, and they may happen, by the way, to an unskilled therapist, mm-hmm. if you don't know how to do this. But in RLT, first of all, we're fond of leverage. The more grandiose the person is, the more we want leverage. You have something in your back pocket that they want, and you stand between them and negative consequences that they don't want. So for example, if I'm motivating some grandiose guy, a lot of men won't do this work for their own sake. No, who needs it? And they won't do this work for their blankety blank partners, wives, but they will do this work to spare their children. Mm. Breaking the legacy. What kind of father did you have? What kind of father, what's your relationship with your father now? What kind of father do you want to be? What kind of relationship do you want to have with your kid? Will you let me break the chain, offer your children a set of defaults that are infinitely better than what you were offered as a kid, and show up for the occasion? You know, there's an old saying, pass it back or pass it on. Mm-hmm. If you don't do this work, I'll be meeting your kids and they'll be doing this work. Mm. Will you heroically rise to the occasion and spare them? And man, that's an invitation I usually get accepted.
I had a couple that I worked with that there was a lot of things happening here, but one of those was a big issue with money. He came from trust fund, prenup, right? All these things, they came into my office. And the only thing, no matter what I said, do you see her in pain, blah, 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 anything. The only thing finally three sessions in when I said, well, what about your kids? Only thing that shocked him back into the room that he couldn't see it, even though his partner who he loved was right here in pain right next to him. There was something about talking about the children that weren't born, weren't even in a belly.
Oh, they didn't even have kids yet.
No, no children yet. No, nothing. But that idea, that could, he could see that.
It's the height of pretension to quote yourself, but I'm gonna. This is from my first book. I don't want to talk about it. It's probably my most famous quote. Family pathology rolls from generation to generation, taking down everything in its path like a fire in the woods, until one person has the courage to turn and face the flame. That person brings peace to his ancestors and spares the children that fall.
Wow. That hits you like a ton of bricks.
I know, we have to end there.
Yeah, because I mean,
nobody say anything else. That was a perfect ending for this episode.
My job.
Right. That's all. And that's it.
Okay. Starting tomorrow, you can get Terry Real's new book, Us Getting Past You and Me to Build a More Loving Relationship, June 7th. Tomorrow, it is out. And if you are a clinician, you got to join relational life training. I mean, you just have to, right? Like, I don't know anything else to do. How can people find you? How can people hear more from you, Terry? Give yourself a plug here.
People come to terryreal.com. You'll get redirected to relational.com if you're a clinician. Whether you're a clinician or not, I want to invite everybody who's listening, first read the book, but then join us in the first ever Us workshop. We're going to do a workshop for individuals and couples, clinicians and normal people, and how to operate, how to really live relationally in your marriages and families and on this planet. So that's going to be in June and July, the Us workshop. Go to my website and find out about it.
Okay.
If you're a clinician, come sign up with us and do our training. I'm telling you, it will transform your life. It will transform your practice. Since I'm doing plugs, I will say this, and you know this, every RLT therapist, their private practices explode. I can't find anybody to refer to. You do this work, word gets out. It's so much more effective than traditional therapy. You're set for life. It is a capital investment. We can do a payment, a plan, pay over time. But come join us and learn how to do this work. Relational life therapy is known for producing dramatic, permanent change quickly. You don't have to believe me, but I've got my two guardian angels, and they'll tell you firsthand that it's true. It really does.
And I have to also say one other thing, which is that they're like, I know for all the clinicians, now is the time to get in. In Pennsylvania, there's only 3 certified people, right? So like, you have to keep in mind, people are looking this up. They want to find these people. Do it now. It is good to be at the beginning of something. Yes. We will speak from that at the beginning. Terry, it is amazing to have you on. We are so happy you're doing well. We are so excited for your new book. We are honored to read it. It will be the book of the month for June. We are going to link everything that Terry mentioned today in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, we always ask you to rate, review, subscribe, follow on Apple Podcasts. You can watch this episode on YouTube, any place where you get your podcast. You can follow us at Shrink Chicks or one of our amazing clinicians at the Therapy Group. And as always, you need to go read all of Terry's work. This is life-changing stuff. This is how you do it. Thanks for being here today.